All right. This morning, we're going to continue a series, a short series we started last week, I Dare You. That's the name of the series. And last week, we looked at Nicodemus and I Dare You to be Born Again. Today, I want to look at Daniel and I Dare You to be Bold. I Dare You to be Bold. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. I'm going to have you keep your Bibles open this morning. But I'd like to read just the conclusion to Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6, and beginning with verse 19. Daniel has been thrown into the lion's den. He's been there all night. The king has been terribly worried about him. After all, he's largely responsible for Daniel being there because he's been tricked. Verse 19 says, "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and broke all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Businesses often use slogans as a means of advertising. It's a way that they can have a reputation with the public. I came across a list of the following business slogans. At a bakery, it's nice to be needed. Car dealership, the best way to get back on your feet, miss a car payment. I'm not so sure that would make people want to come in and buy a car. A computer store, out for a quick bite. There's no chuckles. Some of you don't get that one. All right. An operating room entrance, may I cut in? A proctologist door, to expedite your visit, please back in. Well, I admit that's a bad one. The propane filling station, tank heaven for little grills. As Christians, we have a reputation that we need to withhold. Our reputation is very important as we live our lives for God. The world is watching us. The world is watching the Christian. In fact, Paul said of himself and the other disciples in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9, he said, "We are made a spectacle unto the world." And the word spectacle gives us the meaning of where we get our word theater. We are in a theater to the world. The world watches us as they would go to the theater to watch a play or a drama. It literally means a public showing, a public showing. So the world is the stage in which the Christian walks, and the audience is the world that is around us. I wonder if we would win any Oscars for our testimony. Not that we want to just play the Christian life, but that we really would be the Christians and live the Christian life that God wants us to live. There are a number of things where Daniel was put to a dare, or Daniel actually dared himself. And that first one there, Daniel's diet. Daniel is the one that set out the dare. And he said that he would not defile himself with the king's meat because it had been offered to idols. And so Daniel just said, I'm going to have my own diet. And you prove me. You put me to the test. I dare you to see if I don't have a better countenance than those that are on the king's diet. And then Daniel was put to a dare because the king Nebuchadnezzar had a nightmare. It was a nightmare because he had this dream that he couldn't explain. You remember the story. He called in all of his wise men in his kingdom. And he said, I don't want you to just tell me the interpretation of the dream. I want you to tell me the dream itself. And he's king. We can't do that. There's nobody alive that can do that. And so Daniel says, my king can do that. My God can do that. Just give me some time and I will pray to my God and he will reveal it to me. And Daniel put himself out there in a daring position, but sure enough, God told him not only the meaning of the dream, but the dream itself. And then probably the most dramatic encounter that Daniel had was when he found himself in the lion's den because he dared to pray to God after the king had made a decree that no one would ask anything of any person or of any god for 30 days. So Daniel's life was a life filled with dare. But you know, as I thought about this, and I thought about the Daniel in the lions in Daniel's den, there was another lion in that den that we really don't think of, and that is Daniel himself. Daniel himself was a lion in that den. Why do I say that? I say that because Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous are bold as a lion. Daniel was bold. He was bold for his God. And he was a righteous man. And so Daniel was a lion himself, and he was the strongest lion in that den. It takes a lot of boldness to answer a dare, because a dare is usually for someone to do something that they are afraid to do. But Daniel was not afraid. Daniel believed and trusted in God, and Daniel was bold. Now, please understand, Daniel didn't accept dares to do foolish things. Okay? I don't want you to dare to do foolish things. Daniel took dares when it had to do with something about his God, with the reputation of his God. His boldness came because he wanted to be righteous and he wanted to be faithful to God. And we hear this right away in the book of Daniel in chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. He determined ahead of time that he would not defile himself. And so that became the motto for Daniel's life. And if anything crossed that motto, then he was willing to put himself out to there to the dare. Now I want us to notice some details of Daniel's life that teach us how he stood bold and courageous, and how he dared to go against, did not dare to go against his convictions and what he purposed in his heart. The first thing is Daniel's character. Daniel's character. His position was one of great power and influence in the kingdom of Babylon. Darius had set up 120 princes to rule over his kingdom. And these men helped ensure that his kingdom was protected from theft and tax evasion and military revolts. Apparently, these men were given a specific province of the kingdom. But of those 120, there were three who ruled as Darius's, we could say, vice regents. But over all of them was Daniel. Daniel answered directly to the king. What is so amazing about this is that Daniel is a slave, right? Daniel is in exile. He's not a Babylonian. He was brought to Babylon as a young man, where he was enslaved, taken from his home and his people, and trained in the ways of the Babylonian court. But even though he had to endure that, he was faithful to God, and God blessed him because of his faithfulness, causing Daniel to have favor with every pagan king that he served under. After 70 years of faithful service, the former slave became prime minister of the most powerful government in the world. What am I telling you this morning? I'm telling you this: God honors faithfulness. God honors a life that is lived with consistency. You might not always see the results and the promotions when you want to see them, but they will come if we live a life of faithfulness, if we live a life of consistency. In fact, we don't really need it here on this earth. I would rather have it when I get to heaven and hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we all want to hear, I think. God keeps perfect records. And he is watching, and he sees everything that we do. And one day you will be rewarded accordingly. Revelation 22:12 says, Jesus says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Even now, though, there's something about serving the Lord that is such a blessing in this life. Even if we didn't get the rewards in heaven, I would still serve God here now, because it is so rewarding. It is such a blessing. Nothing thrills the soul like serving Jesus. That's what Psalm 40, verse 8 says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." But Daniel, even though he had this position, he had a problem. He encountered a big problem because the other rulers of the kingdom were jealous of David. They sought to destroy him. People were jealous of David too, but I mean Daniel here. After all, he was a Hebrew slave. He wasn't one of the Babylonians. Why should this slave be over us? Why should the king trust him and not us? And so they devised a plan to get Darius to make a law that no one would pray to any god or make a request even of any person for 30 days. The king liked the sound of that. That stroked his ego. It would place him at the center of everyone's thoughts. Nobody could ask anything of anybody for a whole month. They have to come to me and ask me. And if you stop and think about it, the law was absurd. And yet, Darius signed it because it fed his pride. Daniel's problem was that he was faithful to the Lord, and the other people that were around him, the unbelievers, they hated him for it. They despised him because he was different. He was honest, he was real. Daniel was everything they were not, and they could not stand him because of it. So they devised this plan to get rid of him. You might as well know that if you are going to live for the Lord, if you're going to serve the Lord, there will be people around you that don't like it. Amen. That's just the way it's going to be. Those who do not know the Lord will look for ways to attack you because you are faithful to God. Jesus warned us of this. Paul warned us of this. Peter warned us of this. But let them do what they will. Let them hate us, fight us, and try to silence us. But regardless of what they do, let us dare to be like Daniel. Let us dare to remain bold and faithful. And that's what Daniel did. Daniel kept his purity. The Bible tells us that Daniel was possessed with an excellent spirit. And the word excellent means preeminent. In other words, Daniel had a spirit about him that was so prevalent that other people noticed it. And beyond that, when the other presidents of the kingdom wanted to find some deficiency in Daniel, they couldn't find anything in his life that was wrong at all. Nothing. There was no skeletons in his closet. There was nothing that was hidden in his life. It was an open book. He was faithful and faultless. That was his testimony among the lost. That was his testimony among the unbelievers. There was nothing wrong in his life. You know, if you go to a jewelry store and you ask to look at a diamond, what they'll usually do is they'll take that diamond out and they'll put it against a dark background. You know why they do that? Because the brilliance of the diamond shows more clearly against a dark background. The Bible tells us that the people of this world, they walk in darkness. This world is a dark place in which we live. And like Daniel, as Christians, you and I are to shine brighter against this dark background. I've heard Christians complain about the environment in which they work. They say, everybody I work with is lost. You know what that does? It gives you a great opportunity to shine your light in the midst of that dark background. It gives you a greater opportunity. If you work in such an environment, I'm not saying it's not difficult. Please don't think that. But I want to dare you this morning. I want to dare you to be like Daniel and let your light shine against that dark background. I dare you to be bold and to be faithful like Daniel was. Well, when they couldn't find anything wrong, no sin or secrets in Daniel's life that they could exploit, the only recourse they had was to try to find something that had to do with his faithfulness to God and use that against him. And they knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. And so they moved Darius to outlaw prayer for 30 days. They knew that Daniel would pray anyway. They saw it, though, as their opportunity to finally get him, to have Daniel executed. That's what they were counting on, that Daniel would still pray, and they were not disappointed. Because just like at other times, Daniel would pray at his set times every day with his window open. And so Daniel prayed anyway. And that shows us Daniel's character. Watching Daniel face this crisis in life, don't you get the idea that this wasn't really even a dare for him? It was something that he was going to do regardless of the consequences. He did what he always did. He simply remained faithful to the Lord. I want you to notice how Daniel faced the challenge before him and the choices he made. He chose obedience to God over opportunities in the world. He chose faithfulness to God over the favor of the king. He chose devotion to God over the decree of the king. He chose bowing to God to bowing before his enemies. He chose a faithful testimony over fleeting treasures. He chose commitment over compromise. He chose faithfulness over freedom. He chose love over life. He chose character over comfort. Daniel was determined to stand for that which is right because of this, because he was right. He was right, and so it was easy for him to stand for that which was right. He was willing to stand for the Lord despite the consequences. He was determined to remain faithful, whatever the cost. And for Daniel, the cost would be very high. And so here's the challenge. First of all, he faced a personal accusation. When his enemies saw him praying before the Lord, they, of course, went and took their accusation to the king. They accused Daniel and demanded that the king honor the law of the land. And his enemies were right. Daniel was guilty. He was guilty of breaking this foolish law. Even then, the king realized how foolish he had been to ever go along with this idea. He regretted signing the law, and he labored all day and through the night to try to find a loophole to deliver Daniel from death, but he couldn't find any. The fact is, Daniel did break the law of the king, but Daniel did not break the law of the Lord. Daniel did what the Lord commanded, even when it contradicted what the government commanded. You know what? We might face that same dilemma in the future. We might purpose in our heart right now that we will not defile ourselves, that we will not compromise our convictions if we are dared and challenged to do so. Romans chapter 13 tells us that we have to obey the rulers of the land and their laws. But when they contradict God's laws, we must do what God says, regardless of the consequences. And this is what Daniel was going to do. He faced a personal accusation and he faced a powerful attack. So Daniel was taken and he's cast into the lion's den. Everybody thought Daniel was a dead man. Nobody entered the lion's den and came through unscathed. The lions did not care if their victim was a preacher or a pagan. They ate anyone who was thrown into their den. They were fed. They were bred, and they weren't fed for this task. They were kept half-starved so that they would kill and attack anyone who was thrown into their midst. For sure, Daniel's a dead man. But the king had some confidence in Daniel and in Daniel's God. He believed that the God Daniel served possibly could take care of Daniel. And you know, you and I need to live the kind of lives that touch the people around us. And so whether it's a pagan or a neighbor, our faith should ring true and point to the Lord and say, you know, there's something about them. There's something about their God. Their God does things for them. Their God, he works in their behalf, whether they believe in the Lord or not. They should know that we do. And they should be able to see his hand working in our lives. Ellie Maxwell tells of a group of prospectors who were sent out from Bannock, Montana, in search of gold. They went through hardships, several hardships, and many of their company died en route. Finally, they were overtaken by Indians who took their good horses, leaving them with only a few limping old ponies. Then they threatened them, telling them to go back to the city and stay there. For if they overtook them again, they would murder the whole lot of them. These prospectors, defeated, discouraged, and downhearted, sought to make their way back to the city. On one occasion, as they tethered out the limping ponies on a creekside, one of the men casually picked up a little stone from the creek bed. He called to his buddy for a hammer, and upon cracking the rock, he said, "It looks as though there may be gold here." The two of them panned gold the rest of the afternoon and managed to realize $12 worth. The entire little company panned gold the next day in the same creek and realized $50, a great sum in those days. They said to one another, "We have struck it. We have struck it rich." They made their way back to the city, but they vowed not to breathe a word concerning this gold strike. Don't breathe a word to anybody. We don't want anybody to know that we have found gold. So they secretly set about re-equipping themselves with supplies for another prospecting trip. But when they were ready to go back, when they were ready to head out of town and go back to their strike, 300 men were following them. Who told them? Who told these 300 men? No one. Their beaming faces revealed the secret. You know, sometimes people can just look at us and say, there's a secret to their life. We don't have to say anything, but there's a Christian. There's somebody who believes in God. How do you know? We haven't said a word. Your countenance betrays your secret. Like Daniel, we live life as Christians that should betray our secret of knowing God. We have been saved. Jesus Christ, he lives within my heart. It should leave us with a testimony that our faith is of genuine gold. There's Daniel's challenge, and next we're going to look at Daniel's conquest. And Darius and his fears. When Daniel's thrown in the lion's den, Darius returns to his palace. He passes the night in fear. No doubt he is grieved over his own foolishness. No doubt he is angry at those who tricked him. He wrestles with sleep until dawn, and then he races to the lion's den to check on Daniel. With a voice trembling with fear, he calls out to Daniel, hoping against hope that Daniel has managed to survive the night. Daniel has, because of his faith. He answers the king and relates the glorious news that God has intervened in his life. God has sent his angel, he says, to shut the mouth of the lions. The angel shut the mouth of the lions so that they did not attack him. I love the imagination of Clarence McCartney in his book, Great Nights of the Bible. He paints this picture. He says, "Mother, what makes the lions roar so loudly at night?" The Babylonian mother clasped her child to her breast and answered, "Because for 3 days they have not been fed. The lions are famished, they are hungry. That is why they roar so loud. All through the day, those who live within a mile of the den of lions can hear the savage beasts roar. Mad with hunger, they pace restlessly up and down in their den, lashing their tawny hides with their tails, uncovering their cruel fangs, and every now and then laying their jaw to the ground and emitting a frightful, earth-shaking roar. But at eventide, when night has come down over Babylon and its hanging gardens, and the wind whispers among the willow trees along the backs of the broad Euphrates, there is silence in the den of lions. No longer do they roar. Mother, where are the lions? I do not hear them roaring now." "No, child," answered the mother. "The lions have been fed. That is why they do not roar. Now they are asleep." Yes, now the lions were quiet. They had ceased to shake the earth with their roars, but not because they had partaken of food. For when food was offered them, they had refused it. It was the first time the lions had ever refused to eat. Daniel's attributes: God's gracious protection, all pointed to the fact that Daniel was an innocent man. He's immediately taken out of the den and he's examined. And an incredible, a seemingly impossible miracle had taken place. There was not a scratch, not one scratch on Daniel. One writer described it this way: as the guards closed the aperture and went their way, Daniel slid gradually to the floor of the den. The big lions that had come bounding from their caverns at the inflow of light all stopped suddenly short, as a steed reined up by a powerful hand on the bridle. The initial roars died away as they formed a solid wall and looked toward this man who stood in their den within easy reach. There was some snorting and a little whining, and some of them turned around and went back to their caverns. Others of the great beasts yawned and lay down on the floor, but not one made a move to advance toward their visitor. "Thanks be to Jehovah," breathed the prophet, "who had stopped the mouth of these fierce beasts, that they will do me no harm." He sat down on the floor of the den and leaned his back against the wall to make himself more comfortable for the night. This is just imagination, you understand. It's not in the Bible, but it could have went like this. I like it. Soon two cubs moved in his direction, not stealthily or crouching as though to make an attack, but on obvious friendliness, and one lay on each side of Daniel as though to give him warmth and protection in the chilly dungeon. Presently the mother, an old lioness, crept over and lay in front of the prophet. He gently stroked their backs as they each turned their heads and licked his hand. Enclosed by the lioness and her cubs, the head of the patriarch was gradually pillowed on the back of one of the cubs as the four slept soundly in perfect peace and tranquility. I believe there was perfect peace and tranquility there. I don't think Daniel was scared all night looking at the mouth of these hungry lions. I think they all laid down and went to sleep. Daniel's faith had preserved his life. But what about Daniel's foes? The men who falsely accused Daniel found out that the lions really were hungry. There was nothing wrong with the lions, and they were not spared. Theirs was a foolish dare. What a foolish dare to test Daniel and Daniel's God, to put the Lord to the test. And then Daniel and his future, what happened as a result? King Darius is overwhelmed by what has taken place, and he makes a decree that exalts the Lord God Almighty. And he commands everyone in his kingdom to bow before the mighty God of Daniel. He declares God to be the living God, a God of power and glory, possessing an eternal kingdom. The chapter ends with Daniel being exalted even higher in the kingdom. May I remind you again, what God is looking for is faithfulness. The moral of this story is that God honors faithfulness. Because Daniel remained faithful to God even to the point of death, God helped him and delivered him from his enemies, the decree of the king, and from the power of the lions. Daniel succeeded because he put his bold faith in the hands of his God. Now, we may never face a den of lions. We may face some other trials, though. We might be called upon to endure some trials that other saints of God have had to endure. The only thing that you need to remind yourself in those times is, I just need to be faithful. I just need to remain faithful. God has promised that he would never leave us alone, not for one moment. He has promised that he would give us grace that would be sufficient for every step that we take. He has promised to guide every step that we take. He has promised to meet every need we have in life. He has promised to hear us and to help us when we call upon his name. You see, there are many things that I can't do. Many things I can't do. But there's one thing I can do, and that is I can be faithful. And you know, and as I thought about this week, the things that I am grateful for, I'm grateful for you and thankful for you, and I want to thank you for your faithfulness and your ministry. But I also want us to be aware that we face crisis situations in life. And you know, when we face a crisis in life, when it feels like we've been thrown into the very lion's den, you know, we tend to react in one of three ways. We either panic, we become paralyzed, or we pray. Those are really the three reactions. If we panic, we often do the wrong thing. If we become paralyzed, we do no thing. We do nothing. But if we pray, we do the right thing. Prayer is always the right thing to do. And I believe we should follow Daniel's example, and we should pray regularly. Pray until it becomes the natural response to the stresses of life. I have a crisis. I have this stress that has come upon me. What am I going to do about it? Well, I want to get to the point in life where I don't even have to think about what I'm going to do. I'm simply going to drop to my knees and pray. Because that is the right response every time. That is the proper response. God can do anything. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says that we all have an adversary, the devil. He's like what? He's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. So in some respects, we all do have our lion's den. We will all face Satan, our adversary, going around as a roaring lion seeking to devour you. Here's what I want to dare you to do this morning, okay? I want to dare you to pray. But I don't want to dare you just to pray. I want to dare you to boldly pray. What did Paul tell us, Hebrews? That we are to go boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find help in time of need. I want to challenge you to be a righteous person. I want to challenge you to be the other lion in the den, the other lion in the situation, because the righteous are bold as a lion. Congressman Sam Johnson, you might have heard of him. He had flown planes in 62 combat missions. In 1966, his plane was shot down over North Vietnam. He spent almost 7 years as a POW. 3 of those years were spent in solitary confinement. 18 months he spent in leg irons. He wrote an autobiography entitled Captive Warriors that details his experiences. One of his service to his country, and once out of his service to his country, he was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 2 Legions of Merit, the Distinguished Flying Cross, 1 Bronze Star with Valor, 2 Purple Hearts, 4 Air Medals, and 3 Outstanding Unit Awards. He decided he was going to become a congressman. When he came up to Capitol Hill in 1991, he came with a conservative agenda, which he was determined to implement. He was from the state of Texas. A liberal congressman met him and told him, "You know, Sam, maybe you had better back off a little bit." And he made a veiled threat about what might happen if he didn't back off from his agenda. Sam looked back at him and said, "Mister, you need to know something. I was a pilot who was shot down over Vietnam. I spent nearly 7 years as a POW, much of that time at the Hanoi Hilton. I was beaten and tortured." Listen to this. Here's a modern day Daniel. "I stood in front of a firing squad with five Vietnamese soldiers holding their rifles at me. I watched them load their rifles. I prayed like I'd never prayed in my life. When the command to fire was given, I listened to each rifle click one time. Each of the five rifles had misfired." Now, he probably shouldn't have done this, but he said, "I laughed at them when that happened. And when I laughed at them, it made them mad and they kicked me and knocked me down, and I spent 3 years in solitary confinement." He said, "Sir, I have seen death face to face, and I have walked away unscathed. I want you to know, sir, your threats don't scare me." I can see Daniel saying that, can't you? "I've stared death in the face. After this, what could stop Daniel? I've stared death in the face. I've been thrown into the lion's den. Your threats don't scare me." Here's the three Hebrew children refusing to bow down to this image and worship it. They're thrown into the fiery furnace. They come out of that furnace not even smelling like smoke. There was three that were thrown in, but there happened to be four when the king counted, and one was the Son of God. Can you imagine after they came out of that fiery furnace? "Sir, your threats don't scare me. I've faced death. I've faced the fiery furnace. I've faced the lions. I've faced the firing squad. Sir, your threats don't scare me." God wants to do things in our life. God wants us to be victorious. God wants to show himself strong on our behalf. So when the roaring lion comes our way, we'll be able to stand righteous and bold. And we'll be able to say, "Devil, your threats don't scare me. Your roar doesn't scare me. If you think that intimidates me, you got another thing coming. I don't scare that easy. I believe in God. I trust in my God." And you know, we might not walk out of it unscathed. We might not be like the three Hebrew children. We might not be like Daniel. We might not be like Sam Johnson. But I do know this, that my God will still be faithful. And the three Hebrew children said, "We're not careful to answer you in this matter, O king. Our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we will still not bow the knee or worship the image that you have set up." And the worst thing that can happen is if they kill us in this life, we wake up in the arms of Jesus. And so we have every reason to be bold. I dare you today, my dare, okay, this is the daring series. I dare you to be bold. I dare you to remain faithful and consistent in your Christian life. I dare you to be like Daniel. The righteous are bold as a lion. Remember that old chorus? Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. I dare you to be a Daniel today. Dare you to be bold. Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed?